Have you ever asked the question, so what do I do now? You know, something happens and you have to ask, what am I going to do now that I've received a seemingly major body blow to your life? And what do you do? What do you do when things seem to have fallen apart? I think this should come up. There we go. Wasn't that? We're okay. How do you find strength? How do you find strength after a tragedy? How do you find strength in your life? I know some of your stories. I know that many of you have gone through harsh and difficult experiences. And what is it that gives us strength to go on? I mean, the fact is all of us are going to face a tragedy, face some issue. If you're married today, chances are you're both not going to die at once. Chances are that one of you will be left. If you have a parent, which we all do, we're going to come to that point of facing and watching them pass away. If you have brothers or sisters or relatives or loved ones, people that are close to you, somebody is going to die, and it's going to seem like an overwhelming tragedy. So how do you handle that? What are you going to do with that? What do you do when you're planning, you or maybe your kids will be planning to get married and you have to break off the engagement and tell everybody? Boy, that's a big one. What do you do if your spouse walks into your home, into your place and says, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back? What would you do if the doc phones and says, you remember those tests that you had? Doesn't look good. When you have an accident and it throws every one of your future plans out the window and you're not going where you thought you were going to go in your life. All of us are going to have some kind of situation like that in our lives. Count on it. Count on it. What do you do when what does that young family do when they walk away that I mentioned earlier? What do they do when they walk away from a freshly covered grave? You know? I mean, this stuff happens in life. How do we find the strength to go on in the midst of those situations? There's a guy in the Bible, and his name was Jeremiah, and he lived through one of the most horrendous periods of the history of Israel. And the enemies came in, and they destroyed people, they ravaged the nation. They took the entire nation captive, and that was the enslavement when they went to Babylon, and they were taken even away from their homeland. And it was during Jeremiah's life that he witnessed such great atrocities, enormous inhumanities done to his people, to his family. And he watched and he saw it to the people that he loved. And it was in his life that he wrote the book of Lamentations and the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote what he lived, and he lived what he wrote. He was there. Almost all the verses we're looking at this morning are going to be drawn from the book of Lamentations. That's where Brian read this morning. And Jeremiah wrote so many things. And in Lamentations 3, we read, we have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of my people. Then he says, I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit poured out as I see what has happened to my people. So who of us has strength to carry on? You know, it's a huge undertaking. If you've come to church today and your heart is heavy because you've experienced this, I want to tell you, you've come to the right spot, because this is the place where God touches people's lives together. And as we've heard, in the midst of a family, in the midst of another people who care and love you and will care for you. And don't ever underplay that. Don't ever think that the church family is not an important thing. It is the place where God is working. It's profound. I hear people and talk to people all the time who say, oh, well, what's the church? There is no other place in the world that does what the church does. Surrounds people, prays for people, encourages people, cares for people, and helps plan people's eternity and works with people. I don't know where you'd find it outside of here. There's lots of groups that might do parts of those things, but the church is what God has called us to. So, how do you find strength to carry on? Well, Jeremiah gives us some ideas, and I just want to share these with you, and I want you to think about them, be reminded of them, and hopefully with a little assignment at the end of the sermon, you can carry them on during this coming week. I mean, what good is it if we come without an assignment, right? Can I hear an amen from the teachers? Yes. Okay, so Jeremiah tells us that we ought to focus our attention on God. We find one of the scriptures, in fact, Jesus said this in the New Testament, he said, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Have you ever noticed that one of the big things that happens in our lives when we get most stressed out and most worn out is not when we focus on God, but when we spend our time focusing on ourselves? And you've all run into the people who are so self-focused, you just walk away from them after you've talked to them and you're just exhausted because they're so self-focused and they want to lay everything that's so important to them and is their focus in life and is their stuff and is their, go on and on. And you walk away thinking, my goodness, do you know anybody else? Do you know God? Or is all of life focused on you? You have to make time to be quiet. You have to take time to be with God and just to listen to Him. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah wrote, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask for questions, wait for hope to appear. Now, Jeremiah wasn't one of these guys that sort of, the hocus pocus of life, and if you sit quietly, all of a sudden, God's going to start writing in the sky, or you're going to start hearing this drum rolling. But you know what? If you took time and did that day by day, you would start to have a different sense. If you took your focus off yourself and sort of focused on God. Did you not want to know that God, or you want to know that God wants to talk to you? God wants to talk to you more than you want to listen. I met a lot of people who say they're open-minded, but they don't think that God would ever talk to them. I want to tell you that the reason that God probably doesn't talk to them is because they're too busy. All of you will remember that if your mother's still living, you've got to phone her next week because it's Mother's Day. And have you ever phoned somebody and phoned your mom on Mother's Day? And you get the operator that comes on and says, sorry, all our lines all our circuits are busy. Please try your call again. Well, how often does God seek to speak to us and we're too busy? All of our circuits are too busy. We're listening or watching the TV again. We're listening to the radio. We're talking to other people. We're keeping our minds occupied. We're racing off to a myriad of different events and different things because we think that they're so important. How will our children survive if we don't do all these things? And all of a sudden, we don't take time to listen to God. I mean, no wonder the circuits are busy. We're having trouble just making it through our day. When was the last time you sat down and you took 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just sat down and were quiet before God. You didn't have the radio on. You didn't turn the TV on. You just sat there in quietness. My guess is that many people have never even done that in their lifetime. God is there, and we just need to ask and say, God, I want you to say whatever you want to say to me right now. I want to hear what you have to say. And you just sat and listened. Have you ever done that? Somehow we think we need to do something, whether we need to, you know, I mean, today one of the big things that everybody has to do is journal. And so sometimes people think, well, I'm going to spend my time sitting down and writing a journal. I think that's wonderful to do that. But do you take the time to stop and hear what God might want to say to you in the midst of that? Or is it just, I got to start writing, and you write these things, and then all of a sudden you come back and say, wow, that's pretty profound. But if you haven't listened to God, it's just sort of your focus again, right? I want to challenge you this week just to take 10 minutes. Don't do something silly like, I'm going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour with God. How long is that going to last? Well, it'll maybe partly the first day, and then that'll be it. But say I'm going to take 10 minutes. 10 minutes! And sit wherever you sit. Go wherever you feel comfortable and just sit there and be quiet. And just say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? If you would do that, if we would do that, I believe we'd be amazed at the kind of spiritual strength and direction that all of a sudden we would find. A new direction that we were actually taking the time to seek to connect with God each day. Try to live your marriage without ever connecting with your partner. How long does that last, folks? And if it does last, does it last happily? You know? The same is true with God. We need to spend time with Him. Maybe take your Bible and put your finger in the, if you don't know your way around the Bible, just put your finger right in the middle, and chances are you're going to run into the book called the Psalms and turn to the first chapter. And if you know nothing else, just start reading. Just start taking a look at it and read what it says. Take 10 minutes and do that. And I think you will find that as you focus on Him, new and great things will happen. Just like we read that Jesus said, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. So I want to challenge you with that. That's really your assignment. Be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift. And you just have to ask yourself the question, is that what I want my life to be? Do I want my life to be focused on God, or am I going to focus on all the other things? Difficulties in life tend to press us so that it gives us a chance to refocus our lives. And so my prayer for us is that as you face issues, you will refocus your attention. Well, another thing that we can do is we can ask God to remove our fears. You know, one of the greatest things that's the most deadly emotion that we have is fear. Grief does not necessarily paralyze you. Anger does not necessarily paralyze you, but fear does. If you're going to get on in your life after some big event, as we've mentioned, whatever it might be, you're going to have to deal with the root of fear and the anxieties in your life. Jeremiah said, and we read, from the bottom of the pit, I cried out to you, O Lord, and when I begged you to listen to my cry, you heard me. And you answered me and told me not to be afraid. Some of you might remember Ann Landers. And do you know what the number one thing that she said people wrote about the most was? Fear. Out of all the... She would get 10,000 letters a day. Can you imagine? We think we're troubled when we get 10 or 20 email a day. She got 10,000 letters, and without hesitation, she said fear was the biggest thing. Everybody in this room has fear, And very often they're hidden. We may fake it. We may make it look like we don't have them. We cover them up. We medicate them. Lots of people medicate their fears with all sorts of things. But the truth is that everybody has fear. It's universal. There are lots of things to fear. There are plenty of things to fear in your life, and you know it. So if you're going to get on with your life, you got to learn how to deal with your fear, right? Jesus, I think, tells us how to do that. He tells us that we ought to, that there's some antidotes. You remember Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Well, we have to ask, how is that an antidote for fear? Well, most fears are based on ignorance and false information, right? They're not based on truth, but misperceptions, misunderstandings, prejudices. That's where most of fears come from. You know, as an infant, you weren't born with a whole lot of fear. As I understand, babies are sort of born with a startle reflex. And sometimes people say, well, maybe that translates into a fear of falling, but that's still a startled reflex. So ultimately, they really don't understand what fear is all about. So the fact is that the things that we fear are the things that we learn to fear. We learn to fear things in the playground. We learn to fear things in our families. We learn to fear things that are around us. And all of that kind of thing, we've learned it. You've learned it from your friends. You've learned it from your parents. You've learned it from on the playground. You learn to fear things from the people you work with, from the experiences that you've had. And all of our fears are things that we learn. Here's the bad news. A lot of things you've learned in life are not true. And that is one of them. Things you learn about yourself. The way you see yourself, the way you, things about God, things about life, experiences of life, but they're not true. And when you build your life on those faulty assumptions and misbeliefs, the more misbeliefs you have in your life, the more fear you're going to have in your life. You have all these things. And God wants us to deal with this. You can't just get rid of fear by saying, be gone, fear. Or by saying, I'm not going to fear anything anymore. You have to replace that fear with truth in your life. And the more you fill your life with truth that you find in God's Word, the more that fear will be dispelled. The more truth you have in your mind, the less room there is for fear. You put in truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, the second thing, I mean, the other thing that that we read is that the Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Pushes it out. So the more of God's love that is evident in your life, the more you're going to be confident and the less you're going to be afraid. If you have a lot of fears in your life, if fear controls your life, if fears direct your lives, I would question whether you know God very well. Because God is love. And God wants to fill our lives with His love and dispel those fears. The other thing is that having faith in our life is key. It reduces our fears. It allows us to do things. Faith doesn't eliminate the feelings of fear, but it gives you the courage to do what you need to do in spite of how you feel. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't say, I'll take away all your fear and you will feel really at peace about it. A lot of times, faith simply says, I'll give you the courage, the power, the energy, the stamina to go on and to do the very thing that you think you fear the most. To do the thing you don't want to do because you're scared to death to do it. Faith is moving in spite of how you feel. Faith is almost like the shield that you hold up against fear. It doesn't mean that it's not there. but it means that you hold up that shield. So how do you get all these things? I mean, it's so nice to think about that. Well, the simple truth is it's because you have a relationship with God. I don't want to make this sound so simplistic, wave the magic relationship wand with God and it'll change everything, but you know what? It makes all the difference. The more you get to know God, the more you're going to have his truth, his love, his faith in your life. So what I'm saying is all those fears that you've got in your life, the antidote is not a formula. It's not going and finding a book that says, do this, do this, do this. It's having a relationship. It's knowing the God who deals with our lives. Well, we need to realize that God and believe that God will restore us. We read, restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. All of us look back on our lives, and there's some point in our lives where we probably thought, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. I remember these things. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that wonderful? And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring back and give us those things. Did you know that God specializes in new beginnings? He really does. You know, we look back and we think, oh man, I lost that joy and that blessing that I thought I once had. Somehow it doesn't seem as real. But you know what? God wants to give you a new beginning again and again and again. David, the psalmist, said, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If we have no hope, if we have no hope in what God can do, then we move into the realm of despair. But you know what? God wants to work in your life in a new way and do new things. The last thing that we want to remember is that God never changes. All the things around us are constantly changing. I discovered a new thing, and it's a change in my life. And that is when I sit too long, and then when I stand up, the knee that I damaged years ago as a kid, I have to stand there for a second so that it gets into place so that I can walk properly. I mean, hello. And you young people, laugh all you want. Because if you do silly things like I was prone to do, you'll have lots of legacy things to talk about. Of course, life changes and tragedy changes things faster. One minute, there's someone that you love, and the next minute, they may be gone. It's instant change. But there are certain things that will never change. There are certain things in our lives that will hold fast. And we have an anchor. We have an anchor. And we need to remember that God is in control. We need to remember that. He's still on the throne in the midst of all the things that happen. The reason our lives are filled with fear, as I said earlier, is that most of life is beyond our control. We like to think we've got it in the bag. We like to think we're in control of all that's going on. But you know what? All the major things that happened in your life, you've got no control. You didn't control who your parents were. You didn't control when you were born, where you're born, what natural gifts you were given in terms of what you could do. You don't know how you're going to die or when. You don't control the economy. You don't control the weather. You don't control the past, and you don't control the future. You can't even control what's going to happen to you this afternoon. One thing you can control is your attitude and your response, and that's a big issue. You can't control the things that are going to be thrown at you in life. But you can control how you're going to respond to them in faith, in trust, and in love, or in some other way. The truth is, we can't handle all those possible crises and challenges that come to our lives. But I don't have to. because God is still in control. And I trust him. I have faith in him. And I love him. I hope that's the testimony of your life. Let him take care of these things. Jeremiah said, "We are sick at our very hearts and can hardly see through our tears. But you, O Lord, are king forever and will rule till the end of time." Wow. You know what? If I was ruling to the end of time, things would be a real mess. You'd want to run real fast. But God is controlling. The other thing that I remember is that God still loves me. Other people may stop loving me. Other issues may come up in life. But I know that God still loves me. Jeremiah says, "I'll never forget this trouble. The utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poisons I've swallowed. I remember it all." Just trying to make sure I've got the same verse. "The feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering it, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness." The last thing we need to remember is that God is all you need. You're never going to know that until God is all you've got. You know what, as each of us sit here today, when somebody would say that all you need is God, probably our first reaction is, "Oh, come on, isn't that a little overstated? What do you mean, all I really need is God? I need my income, I need my partner, I need my job, I need my life, I need my..." Well, we make it so. But I want to say that when push comes to shove, when all of those things are out of your way, all you truly need is God. There'll be a time in your life when that's all you've got. And you're going to find it out that God is all you need. If you've got God, you've got everything else that you need. Because you know what? He's the one that's got all the resources. He's the one that holds the future. Jeremiah said, "Deep in my heart I say, the Lord is all I need. I can still depend on him." We gather around this table because we recognize that in our lives, this is what we need. This is what we need to honor, who we need to honor. And we can be thankful that we can come here and remind and be reminded of his grace. So let's just pray as we gather around his table. Father, I just pray that in this coming week, the prayer on our hearts and our lives will be to make that statement that we need your strength in our lives. Father, you've brought us here today. You have a purpose. And so I would pray that as in this coming week, that each one of us, again, afresh, a new beginning, will start taking those kind of steps. Lord, in our busyness and in all the things that we think we need to scurry about in our lives, help us, we pray, to slow down and take a moment to focus on you. If for no other reason than to be an example to our children or to our neighbor or to our partner. Father, help us to start building our lives around you. Your truth, your love, and the faith that you give to us. So, Father, fill us with those things and free us from the fears, release us from the worries that we struggle with. Father, thank you that you can and you want to help us in those tough times. Help us to focus, Father, help us to focus on what's left, not on what's lost. Give us your grace. Help us to remember that you love us and you're in control. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.